Hear this prayer for understanding of God's word. Holy God, by your Spirit, reveal your radical, surprising love. Come to us through your holy word, and let us hear what you are saying. Amen. And the reading is going to be from Luke 24, 36 through 48. And the story before this was the road to Emmaus, so we're familiar with that. But Jesus appears to his disciples in Luke 24, 36 through 48. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See, that is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering, and he said to them, "Have you here anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms are fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We're thankful, Lord, and we're grateful. But we also continue to be open to how you will speak. We'd like to hear your voice. We'd like to see your presence. Help us to simply be open to how that's already taking place. Thank you for your love, how much you love us. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Go ahead and look at somebody right now. Look them right in the eyes, and you can say this next phrase however you would like. "You're a sight for sore eyes." You can say that in a lot of different ways, right? "You're a sight for sore eyes." "You're a sight for sore eyes." Just the tone changes it. Changes the inflection, changes the meaning behind that. And you know, if you greet somebody like that and offer that, that can be a wonderful greeting. I'd mentioned to you earlier about our sister in Christ who this morning didn't greet me with love. She was ornery, and all she was interested in is these curb feelers that I have for eyebrows now and straightening them out. But, you know, we have days like that where people greet us and interact with us in ways that, well, are surprising, no question about it. And we have the same kind of response to other people. It's kind of surprising and maybe unsettling or startling even. Who knows? But let me share this. All right? Let me share this. Do you think as the church we could try and make an effort at least. And all God wants is an effort from us. God does not seek perfection. God seeks humility. So could we try to simply see Jesus in one another? Now maybe there's a whole nother expression that you have when you see somebody and you see them and you go, Jesus. I'm not directing that at anybody. I just happen to catch eyes with a particular brother in Christ that I love. He knows I love him. But, you know, seeing Jesus in one another requires us to be humble before God. You know, it really does. Because oftentimes what we think needs to happen and our agendas become more important than how God is already manifesting himself in our lives and in the world. And we can miss it. You know, I don't believe there is such a thing as coincidence anymore. I don't. I really don't. People will say, well, what a magnificent coincidence that that happened, that that took place. No, it's a God incident. God has been working. God has been working behind the scenes, if you will. Okay, if you want to say behind the scenes, below the surface, if however you want to name God working, then all of a sudden we realize it. We see it, and we're blessed. And that just happened the other day for me in the hospital and in visiting a brother in Christ and this gathering of individuals and brothers and sisters in that room, and it became very holy, you know. He was going through a very difficult time, very challenging time, and one more operation, you know. But God was working, and I was sitting there, and it had nothing to do with my presence at all, but it had everything to do with God's presence. And being able to see Jesus in each and every person in that room. And I get chills just still thinking about it. How God was at work and surprised me. And I love that when that happens. There's a surprise that takes place in this particular scripture as well. Our sister had mentioned earlier about this walk that a couple of the disciples were on, and Jesus all of a sudden appears. They're out walking, and Jesus is with them, although they don't realize it's Jesus who's with them. That's the surprising, interesting part of the story. That's one of those ways that Scripture comes alive, because we read Scripture, and we're in on what's taking place, and yet we're reading about these lives, and there's something very holy and sacred that we know that the people who are involved in the story don't. That's God speaking into us. So Jesus is with them. And then finally, whenever Jesus gets to the destination, they don't even realize it's him. This is a brief summary of that walk to remember. Their eyes are open all of a sudden. And we find ourselves in the particular scripture passage that we read today, that we received today. Now, I think it's wonderful that Jesus put such a big emphasis on eating. Need I say more? Jesus arranged the first potlucks. Did you know that? I'm not saying that Jesus was a United Methodist, but I'm saying we can really get into it, right? We can. Yeah. And in this particular story, Jesus takes some fish, right? Okay? And eats it. And there are a couple of very powerful and poignant truths around this. In very common things, everyday kinds of workings, Jesus reveals himself. What have we been talking about today? Seeing Jesus, being able to recognize Jesus in very common things. I mean, this is a meal. This is something that they did regularly because people get hungry. Okay, they eat. And yet in that very common, mundane kind of occurrence, Jesus reveals himself, but reveals a greater truth as well. This is not some sort of ghost. This is not some sort of spirit. This is Jesus in the flesh. And that is a truth that the early church struggled with and then came to grips with. And we, as the modern day church and the body of Christ, I'll get back to that in just a second, understand that Jesus physically rose from the dead. Jesus physically rose from the dead. He was there in person, large and in charge. And we can say it again, Jesus is on the loose. So he's there, and he's eating, and he's fellowshipping. And yet, Jesus, resurrected, Jesus, victorious over death, Jesus, the Messiah promised, the Savior delivered, was stepping into something that is all too common in people and in people of faith. He was stepping into an atmosphere of fear. Yeah. Whenever Jesus, and we've been hearing about this the past few Sundays, haven't we? About Jesus approaching people, getting to people. There's no barriers too great for Jesus. Okay? Locked doors, anything like that. Even locked hearts and minds. That's even trickier. Jesus can break through those. And Jesus approaches people even when, and especially when they're most afraid. That's a wonderful truth and hope that we have. The early believers, uncertain, nervous about the future, not even seeing Jesus in their midst. They were so enraptured in fear and panic and closed minds. They didn't even see Jesus in their midst, right in front of them. And so they're opened up and their minds are open. And they're able to understand that Jesus is at work and right in front of them. One of the greetings that I love, and one of the greetings that the resurrected, the bodily resurrected Christ shares and has shared now for 2 weeks in a row, is peace be with you. Did you catch that? Peace be with you. Earlier in John, in the Gospel of John, when Jesus is teaching, in John 14, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." And then that last line, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Okay? That was teaching that Jesus was having with the dialogues before his crucifixion, before his bodily resurrection, before victory over death. And yet, he says that once again. You see, even when we forget it, even when we forget Jesus' teachings and all of these teachings about grace and love and healing and hope, guess what? Jesus is going to come to us, appear to us, show himself to us, and remind us that God loves us. That's hope, isn't it, folks? Isn't it, church? That's hope. Even when we forget, God never forgets, and Jesus continues to be that reminder of incredible, unending, overwhelming grace and love. "Peace I leave with you," Jesus says. And here, after he's been resurrected, "Peace be with you." just kind of as a reminder. Remember what I said before? My peace I give is awesome. I don't know if Jesus ever used the term awesome. I'm saying it's awesome and wonderful. Peace I leave with you. Peace from Jesus overcomes all fear. Peace from Jesus conquers fear and reminds us that we need not be frightened anymore. We need not hide behind locked doors. Locked doors physically, locked doors emotionally, locked doors psychologically, locked doors spiritually. We need not hide behind those anymore because we can trust now. Know that God's never going to hurt us, never going to do anything to damage us. And we have Jesus as a reminder of that in the flesh. How do we release, be released? How do we release the fears to God? Lay them before God. You know, oftentimes whenever we come to worship, right at the very beginning of worship, I'll offer a prayer that goes something like this: Lord, receive all those things that we're carrying with us that keep us from being able to worship you. Remember me saying that every once in a while, probably every worship actually, because I need to do it also. The things that I carry that might keep me from being able to experience God's grace, the things that are swirling around in my mind, the things that start becoming of a higher agenda than God's grace and guidance in my life, I need to lay those before God. So we lay those things before God, and those can be including our fears, okay? The things that we're nervous about, the things that are taking more energy from us than they really should. All right? And we can at least not carry those for a few moments as we're in worship and lay those before God as an offering and know that God's going to receive them. Now, whether or not we pick them up again, that's on us. But even when we pick those things up again, God's grace never stops working in our journey. It's remarkable. It's incredible. It's not like God's waiting for us to do the exact right thing. No matter what we do, God's grace and love are always at work in our lives. That's hope. Dorothy Soll was born in Germany in 1929. And grew up during the years when Adolf Hitler was coming to power and the Nazi regime was coming into force. Her writings are theological reflections on coming to grips with the horrors of the concentration camps and life after World War II, realizing that her heritage of Protestant liberalism had failed to stop the war. She challenges the human propensity for wanting to feel safe. Amen? We all want to feel safe, right? She challenges that. To feel secure from any threat by seeking that from God. In her essay, Peace, Not Security, in Essential Writings, she notes that, quote, change happens at the level of action that contains risk, end quote. Later in the essay, Jesus' Death, Sole goes on to write that because you are strong in Christ, you can put the neurotic need for security behind you. I thought that was kind of strong. That's what she wrote. You do not need to defend your life like a lunatic. For the love of the poor, Jesus says, you can give your life away and spread it around. Remarkable. Peace approaches fear, which reminds us that at times in being a disciple, there's going to be risk. It all goes together. It all flows one into the next. And yet, even in the midst of that risk, whenever we have to step outside of our comfort zone, okay, whenever we have to really trust God, and whenever whatever it is that we're carrying in our hearts becomes so overwhelming that we finally say, Lord, it's on you. We finally give up and give it to God. That risk is met by grace. That risk of being Jesus present, a Jesus that others can see, okay? That risk is met by God's grace as well. So we're never alone. We're never on our own. God is always at work. What are the doors in your life that are locked, that are keeping something inside? Jesus wants to open those doors to God so that you can release it. No longer be guided by fear. No longer be afraid of risking discipleship, of truly being a representative of Jesus in the world. Truly trusting, being vulnerable before God. What is it? What is it that you need to lay before God right now? God's already at work. God's already at work in you. How, as Easter people, do we continue to be witnesses to the one who is on the loose, to the one who is alive, to the one who has conquered death, to the one who allows us to no longer have to be afraid of anything? How do we give witness to that in our lives? Only through God. God is at work. God's grace is washing over you. And God loves you more than you can imagine. Join with me in prayer. Lord, we open the doors to our minds, to our hearts. We no longer hide. You have forgiven us through Jesus. And He is alive and well. Just as His body was resurrected, we are now called to be His body in the world. Representations, not always having to get it right, but always seeking to point to you and your love, which is always at work. Thank you, Lord, that fear has no place now in our lives, that we need not worry and fret over risk, stepping out of our comfort zone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for calling us as your people and already being at work in us. We praise you and we celebrate new life through Jesus. It's in His name that we pray as well. Amen.